Begin the current daf, Masechtas Chulin, daf Lamed Gimel. Begin 6 lines down with the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion with the previous daf, and that is, it was a teaching of Rosh Lakish that came in because the Gemara was attempting to resolve a contradiction between our Mishnah and the Mishnah later on, daf Mem Beis, where Rosh Lakish attempted to give an interpretation, and then the Gemara said, how could he say that he says a different teaching? What was that teaching? He said that the Gemara, and the Gemara is going to elaborate on that halacha, that if someone slaughters when he's slaughtering one pipe, he slaughtered the trachea and didn't yet slaughter the second pipe that he has to when he's slaughtering an animal. The vesha, the esophagus, before he slaughters the esophagus, there's a hole that pierces the lungs, which is generally a simintarfis. It's not going to be a problem by the trachea. Now, on that Amar V'acha Bar Yaakov, he says, Shema Mina Reb Shimon Ben Lakish. You know what we infer from this teaching of Rish Lakish? Which, that he said that once the trachea got cut through the slaughtering, then we view the lungs as if it's put in a box. You can't make it a treif anymore with that because it's already not present anymore. And the Gemara even utilized that for a different context as a stringency. So one thing he says, what you could extrapolate from his halacha is that the following halacha, Mizamnin Yisrael b'neim ayim. You can invite to dine with you Jewish people to eat the intestines of an animal. But ve'im mizamnin avdikhavma b'neim ayim. You cannot invite to dine with you, to have a non-Jew eat the intestines of an animal that was slaughtered. My time, what's the reason? So he says as follows. He says, Yisrael, the b'shchita talya milsa, a Jew, what is he dependent on regarding if he could eat the meat, part of an animal? It depended on slaughtering. Now, kivin de'ikar shchita mayasa, once an animal is properly slaughtered, so yishtruluhu, that permits the meat, the intestines, everything of the animal to be permitted. Now, oiv dikachavim, in contrast, a non-Jew, he doesn't have halacha of shechita. That's not what permits him to eat food. He could just cut the pipes, not slaughter it. It's really dependent on the animal dying. Now, hani, over here regarding the intestines, like the idea we're talking about regarding the lungs, when the animal is slaughtered, when you cut the trachea, it's like as if when the animal is still, what's called merfaches, is still shaking, it's as if those parts have been taken out of the animal. Now, a non-Jew, like we said, his permissibility for eating is not dependent, it's not allowed through slaughtering. There's no halach of shechita that applies to a non-Jew. And therefore, ke'evir menachai damu, it's going to be these intestines, like as if it was a living part of an animal that was taken off when it was still alive. And Eivir Menachai is actually one of the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Neich that's forbidden for a non-Jew. And therefore, it doesn't get removed from the category of Eivir Menachai for a non-Jew until the animal dies. Now, in contrast to a Jew, it loses the status of Eivir Menachai when it's slaughtered. Here, where the animal was still shaking when the slaughtering was happening, and then we said when you slaughter the trachea, it's as if the lungs and also when you do the esophagus, it's like as if those parts are not in the animal anymore, as if it's in the box. It's like you took it out. You took it out. Yeah, it was slaughtered. So for a Jew, that's okay. But for a non-Jew, it's still considered Eivir Menachai until it actually dies and it's not dead yet. So therefore, those intestines are considered Eivir Menachai and the non-Jew cannot eat from that. Now, Amar Papa, he says, Havi Yisivni Kamed Rav Acha B'Yakov. He says, I was sitting in front of Rav Acha when he said over this teaching, who we just quoted from him, Ubayi De'imele, and I wanted to tell him the following argument. Mi Kamidi De'il Yisrael Shari, is there ever a thing that's possible that for a Jew it's permitted, Lo'ev De Kechavim Aser, and that it's forbidden for a non-Jew? We don't find it. We find, if anything, Jews are more stringent than non-Jews in Halacha. But I didn't tell it to him, and I consoled myself why I didn't ask on him, because that means a hot time would come. I said, he gave a reason, he gave a rationale. He said that for them, it's still considered halachically, even the chayin, until it dies, and yet when you slaughter, these things are like it's not in anymore, because whatever's connected to the trachea and to the esophagus is like it's out. The lungs are from the trachea, and then the intestines are from the esophagus, like it's out, but it didn't die, it's like even the chayin. Whereas Jews, it is not like even the chayin, because the shechita already is what permits it, so it's already dead for a Jew, but not for a non-Jew. However, the Gemara says, in spite of the Tanya de Leik Rav Acha B'Yakov, we have a Brisa that says, not like Rav Acha B'Yakov. The Brisa says, Harei Tzalecha Mebehemah, someone wants to eat meat from an animal that was taken, Koinim Shetetze Nafsha, that the meat was taken from it before the animal died, before it expired. Now, why would we want to do that? It's because actually it's beneficial, as the Gemara is going to say later on, if someone wants to be healthy, that's the best type of meat to eat. So what should he do? Says the Brisa, Chaytich Kezayis Basa Mebeis HaShchit. He should cut an olive-sized piece of the meat from the place of where the animal is slaughtered. Now the reason why you want that area is because you could get it very quickly. You don't have to skin the animal and therefore you can get the cut and piece, get the cut of the piece of meat before it expires, which that's the best type of healthy type of a meat. And you don't have to skin it because it's already peeled over there where you slaughtered. And additionally, umolcha yafa yafa, you have to salt it very well, umadicha yafa yafa, and you have to wash it off very well beforehand. The reason is because that area is very busy in that area to get the blood out. So it just comes out from the area, but it's not out of the meat itself. So therefore, you have to wash it off and then salt it off so that you get all the blood out of the area because you can't eat the blood from the animal. And then, umamtun la'achatetzi nafsha, then the person himself, although he took the meat from before it died, but he has to actually wait to eat the meat until the animal actually expires. As the Gemara says in Sanhedrin of Samach Gilman Alv, how do we know it's forbidden to eat from an animal before it dies? Like it says, le'seichlo al adam, you can't eat from it when it's still, that it's still alive, that the blood is coming out. And then you eat it. And says the Braisa, this is echad ayvi kechav me'echad yisrael mutarim by. This approach, this tactic, this strategy is permitted both for Jews and for non-Jews. And what we see is we don't say that, wait a second, what permits for a non-Jew is death, and here the animal didn't die, you took it off before it died, that should be Eivir Menachai. You see from the Braisa, you don't say that, which is obviously not like Rav Acha, and that we say that just like it's permitted for a non-Jew, for a Jew, it's going to be permitted for a non-Jew too, even though he took it off from the animal before it died. And it's not considered Eivir Menachai. Now, says the Gemara, Meseyele L'Rav Idibar Oven. This Braisa supports Rav Idibar Oven, where he basically says the same idea, but he adds on that what we alluded to earlier. So Rav Idibar Oven, Rav Yitzchok Barishin, this is a Reitza Sheyavri. Someone wants to be healthy. As we said, so he cuts off an olive-sized piece of the meat of the animal from the area where it was slaughtered. And he salts it very well. He washes it off very well. Then he waits until the animal expires. And this is an approach that by this is permitted both for a Jew and for a non-Jew to do. The Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Again, like the theme of this parak, Hasheichet, on the laws of slaughtering, Hasheichet Behema Chayvai. If someone slaughters a domesticated animal, a wild animal, a bird, now, Veloyetzimendam, and he slaughters it, no blood comes out. Says the Mishnah, Shem, that's okay. It's not invalidation if blood's not coming out. V'nechalim b'yodai musavis. And additionally, since there's no blood coming out, one is permitted to eat this meat with unclean hands. In other words, without doing what's called netilas yadayim, washing one's hands first, which generally there's a problem, because generally hands, the rabbis gave it a halacha as a sheni l'tumah, as if it's a secondary level of tumah, where that would generally be a problem if something has been prepared that it's susceptible to tumah, where if the item has come in contact with one of the seven types of liquids. However, here is lafish lahukstra badam. It has not become vulnerable with the blood coming in contact with it, which is one of the seven liquids, because no blood came out. So therefore, it's not susceptible to stomach, so you can even eat the meat with unclean hands, which the Gemara later is going to ask that, what do you mean? And that's the first question the Gemara asks. Even if it would have been prepared for tumma, where there was blood, the hands are what's called a sheni, secondary. And we're talking about chulin, unconsecrated meat, regular chulin animal, and the sheni does not make a chulin item into a shlishi. So what would be the problem, even if you have tummy hands? But the Gemara is going to address. Now, Reb Shimon Omer, he says, no, even if it doesn't bleed, hukshiru b'shchita. It is prepared to be susceptible to tumah due to the fact that it was slaughtered. Meaning, just like the slaughtering does something and it's effective to permit this meat to be eaten, that it's not Eivir Menachai, it's not considered a limb from a living creature. So it's then also effective to make this food item into a food item in regards to the laws of tumah, which is mekabel tumah. So even if there's no dam, he says it is mekabel tumah. Now the Gemara asked the question that we alluded to. Time in the loyotzim and dam, it sounds like for the Mishnah, oh, because no blood came out, that's why you could eat it with unclean hands. Which again, unclean doesn't mean literally dirt, it means to say ritually impure. Now, hayotzim and dam, but it sounds like from the Mishnah, blood would come out of the animal, which normally happens. Ein nechal b'dam misavis, then you can't eat the meat of this clean animal with unclean hands. And that is the Gemara, my, why? Yudayim shniyeh saying regular hands are considered a secondary level of tumah. The sheni is a shlisha b'chulin. A sheni, which is what his hands would be, doesn't make the chulin item into a shlisha, so it's not conveying tumah to it. So what's the problem? Now, that the Gemara doubles down on the question and says, "Umimayde b'chulin askin." How do we know the Mishnah is talking about when we're talking about slaughtering an animal? We mean regular unconsecrated meat, because the ketani chaya. One of the cases is a wild animal. Dilu kachim, if we'd be talking about kachim, which, yeah, kachim could become a shlishi, could become a revi, that way we would understand you can't touch it with regular hands. If it's talking about kachim regarding a carbon, chayibu kachim me'ika, is there such, there's no carbon of a wild animal. So that's one proof that it cannot be talking about kachim and rather chulin. V'su, moreover, the Gemara contains with a few proofs. Iba kachim, if you think the Mishnah told my kachim, ki lo yotzim and dam ksheira, if blood does not come out, you tell me then the animal, which was the first halacha, not about tuma, that we said, okay, the slaughtering is going to be okay over there? If it's kachim, is it going to be okay? Hu atzmai lo dam hu tzarech, the whole essence of the carbon you need is for the blood, because it's the throwing of the blood on the mizbeach is what permits the meat to be eaten, like the pus in the Devarim Yud Beis. But dam zevachach yishavech, the blood of your carbon you'll spill, and then it says v'basa teichel, then you could eat it. So how are you saying it's kasher if there's no blood? No, it's not kasher without blood, so it can't be tumah kachim. V'su, moreover, iba kachim, if it's tumah kachim, a carbon, ki yatzim mehen dam mi machsher, if blood would come out, it would make it susceptible to tumah. But although that we know Yad Shach Adam, which is a simon for the seven types of liquids that can make something susceptible to tumah, which one of them is dam? But he says, minayin ledam kachim she'ena machsher. How do we know that if the blood of a carbon falls on something, on like a seed, on food items, that it does not make it susceptible to tumah? Shenema, because the pasuk says in the Devarim, says regarding the blood, Allah, what's considered blood? Regarding prohibitions, don't eat the blood. Says Allah arz tishpachen dekamayim. That on the ground you'll spill like water. So what you see is that dam shenishpach kamayim, blood that spills like water, that's like water that's machsher, that makes something susceptible to tumah. Shein nishpach kamayim ain't a machsher. Something that does not spill like water is not going to be appeared. And the dam of kachim does not spill on the floor because you actually use it for the zrik on the mizbeach. So it's obvious that it's not told by kachim in the Mishnah, because even if it did bleed, then it wouldn't be machsher lekabel tumah. V'su, moreover, says the Gemara, iba kachim, if I mishtoh makachim, so ki lo yotzim em dam, loy miskashri, so you're saying that if blood does not come out, as the Mishnah is saying, that it's not going to be appeared to make it vulnerable to tumah? But liskashri b'chibes ha-kodesh, it should be vulnerable to tumah even without coming in contact with liquids, just due to the esteem that it's a carbon, that it's kachim. Because the kaimelon, like we know the halacha, says elsewhere, chibes ha-kodesh machsherasan, that the actual essence of it being an item of hektish prepares it to be a food item, to be vulnerable, to be mekabel tumah. As the Brisa says in Masech B'sachim, in Lav Dav Lamah Heben Aleph, says in the Pasuk, Veha Basar, which includes Eitzim Levayin, even though there's enough food items, the Chibas HaKadosh, the endearment of the fact that it's Hekdash, makes it prepared and vulnerable for tumah. So therefore, we're back to the question, if our Mishnah is Tumah Chulin, so what's this that we're saying, oh, if it's not susceptible, oh, then he could touch it with Yidayim Mesu'avas. But what? But if there was blood, then he cannot? Why? Who cares if it's susceptible to tumah? His hands are a sheni, and a sheni cannot make a chulin and tashlishi. So Amr Nachman, Amr Rabbi Baravui says, Hacha b'chulin, you're right, we're talking about not kachim, we're talking about a regular mundane animal, but it's talking about shalakachin b'kesav maisaskin. We're talking about that you purchase this animal with maiser sheni monies in Yerushalayim, like the Pasuk says, v'nasata kesav, if you're going to deconsecrate your maiser sheni produce and bring up monies to Yerushalayim, you use those monies to buy food items. On that is what the case we're talking about, which our Mishnah is telling us, that yes, that chulin, which has meiser sanctity because it was bought with meiser sheni money, could become a shlishi, or delay kremeir, and not like kremeir. Rather like the one who disputes him. It's not like we're in the Mishnah, and Masechta Paras, or Ketin Tamid Beis. Mishnah says, Kalatoin bi'is mayim adivri seifim. Whatever needs to be purified by coming into the water, into the mikveh, rabbinically, meaning something that biblically is pure, but the rabbis decreed that he's going to be considered tamei, and therefore he has to purify himself in the mikveh. For example, a person's hands or vessels that became impure from coming in contact with a liquid, which really itself would not contaminate the person, but the rabbis give it a halacha, like a higher level of a tumah. Or if someone, the majority of his body and his head came in contact with drawn water. Or all those cases that I mentioned in Masechet Shabbos by the 18 things which the rabbis had decreed, they all have a halachic status, these rabbinic decrees, as a sheni l'tumah. And the rabbis decreed, therefore, that mitamei asa kodesh. It's going to make kodesh items tamei, meaning it's going to make it into, it passes on the sheni to the kachim, which becomes a shlishi. The reason why we call it tamei and not pusel, because something tamei means to say it could even make something else tamei, because kachim that's shlishi can make another kachim into revi. And upaisel as a truma. It will invalidate truma, meaning to say that this sheni, whatever rabbinically requires tevila, because it's tamei rabbinically, which is said we give it a halacha of a sheni l'tumah, a truma could become puzzle, invalidated. We don't call it tame because it cannot make something else, another truma item, into a revi. But it could become a shlishi. It could become invalidated, as the Gemara Masechta Saita learns out from a kavuchamer from Tful Yom that a shlishi will be for truma, but not beyond that. Now, but that's all for hekdish, which can make it tame. For truma, it can make it puzzle. But a mutav chulin ubemaisa, the Meir says, but if a sheni touches a meiser item or a chulin item, that's it. It doesn't do anything to it because chulin meiser, they don't become a shlishi. Now the chachamim oisim bemaiser. However, the chacham, they say it is forbidden by meiser, which that's what we're saying. The halacha of our mishnah is like not like our Meir, rather like the chachamim. We see that meiser is different than chulin, which meiser could become a shlishi, and therefore the halacha of our mishnah is talking about chulin that was taken from meiser sheni monies, which meiser could become a shlishi, and that's the halacha of our mishnah. We're not talking about kachim, we're talking about meiser. Specifically, where we took it from meiser sheni money. It can't be meiser itself. Meiser is not an animal. Meiser is from produce. But we're talking about where you went and you purchased that animal from the meiser sheni monies. However, in this interpretation, Maskevler of Shimon Bar Ashi says, Mimai, from where are you extrapolating from this Mishnah Masechta's part that you're learning out from the opinion of the Rabbanu who dispute Reb Meir, that you want to say, oh, what's the halacha of our Mishnah? A sheni that's making into a shlishi. It's talking about meiser sheni money that was used to buy this animal. How do you see that from the Rabbanu that you're quoting? Dilma ad kanli pligi Rabbanu led Reb Meir. Where do we find over here in this Mishnah in Masechta's para that the Rabbanu say that it's forbidden with meiser? Ela b'achilas meiser. All we see from this Mishnah is that it would be that it's forbidden for someone to eat meiser in a shlishi state. Meaning, someone that has his hand richly impure, which was one of the cases of kalatoin bis mayim medivri seifrim, which is the rabbinic tumah, or someone that came in contact with mayim shuvim. So there, what do the chacham say? That he cannot eat meiser. Because when they say the words, eisrim b'meiser, that sounds like it's talking about eating, that he's forbidden to partake of meiser. Av b'negiyah de meiser, but regarding touching meiser, that they never said that's going to be forbidden as a shlishi. And so do v'achila de chulin, eating unconsecrated items, they're loy pligi, that they don't disagree with Reb Meir. Now, the thing is, there they don't say it's forbidden. Vaha and halacha of our Mishnah, that's saying that it is forbidden, is even talking about negihi, where it's just touching. Where do you see that halacha of our Mishnah is talking about just touching? And therefore we're saying that you don't see that in this opinion of the Rabban in the Mishnah Masechta Para, is Midigtani. What were the words of our Mishnah? Nechalin b'yadayim misu avos. Said, oh, if it didn't have blood coming out of it when you cut the pipes, so it was not hokshel kabel tuma, it could be eaten with impure hands. Now, it doesn't say, and the Gemara is being very precise over here, it doesn't say that it could be eaten by someone that has yadayim misu avos, has impure hands. That then the inference would be, oh, if blood comes out, then they cannot eat it. That would be like the Rabbanan, which is about eating. Yeah, eating mice, you can't, even as a shlishi, that you see by the Rabbanan. But that's not the words the Mishnah says. Mishnah says, nechalin. Nechalin can mean that for it to be eaten for others, meaning it could be eaten, that someone that has richly impure hands can have it, feed it to other people. And therefore the Gemara says, mi lo yaskinan, isn't it even talking about, in other words, and this is what we're alluding to, and what the Gemara is saying out right now, isn't it also from the words nechalin b'yadayim so avos, also including that it means to feed to others? And even so, that's the inference we're making in the Mishnah, but if blood would come out, then it cannot be fed to others? Meaning, the kasafir le lechavre, that one guy who has the tummy hands, we're talking about him feeding the other person who's tar. And the inference would be, like we said, but if it is vulnerable because there was dam, then it could not be necholachim, it cannot feed to others. So obviously we see that our Mishnah is saying an invalidation of a touching of a sheni. The one who's feeding it to the other person, I mean, generally we were reading necholim yedamus avos, generally translated, means it could be eaten by someone who has impure hands. But that's not necessarily the limitation of those words. Necholim yedamus avos doesn't say oichlin, someone who has yedamus avos. It could be eaten through someone who has impure hands, which also could sound like someone who has impure hands could feed it to someone else. That's only if it's not hokshel kabel tuma. If it is, then he cannot. What's the problem? He's not eating it. Yeah, but he's touching it. But he's just a sheni. Oh, so obviously saying that the sheni is making this into a shlishi? But what are you saying? What's the case? Chulin, no. Oh, you're talking about meiser. Meiser? Who said that Meiser could become problematic as a Shlishi for touching? You don't find anything. The most we find necessarily in the opinion that Chum Oishim and Meiser is regarding eating Meiser, which would exclude touching Meiser or eating Chulin. Yet the halach of our Mishnah seems to indicate even regarding touching, and therefore that cannot be the explanation of our Mishnah to say it's about Meiser, because you don't find any opinion, not just Remei, you don't find even the Rabbanan, who would say that Meiser could become a Shlishi in the laws of touching, which is what's included in the halach of our Mishnah. So Elam Rav Papa, rather, he says, you're right. Hach over here in our Mishnah, which we're inferring, if it would be susceptible to Tumah, if blood came out, then it would be invalidated with impure hands that would be touching it. It's not talking about regular hands that are considered Shnias. Rather, be a daim tchilas askin that we're talking about with the hands are a rishon l'tumah. They're in the first stage of tumah, which that could be ben tamah chulin, because chulin could become a sheni. Reb Shimon ben Elazar, it's going like Reb Shimon ben Elazar, the Tanakh learned a brisa. Tanakama says not like this. Tanakama says ein yadayim tchilas l'chulin. The hands are never going to be considered as a rishon. Meaning later on the Gemara is going to explain how do you have a case of rishon l'tumah. But that's what we're saying. Our Mishnah that says that yadayim are tchilas, that to say that it could even make a rishon which would be problematic for chulin, we're saying that's Reb Shimon ben Elazar, because the Tanna Kama says no. Wherever you find, which we're going to explain shortly what the case is, that yadayim are tchilas, for example, let's say where hands went into a house that has a nega, which that's av hatumah, and the person's hands become a rishon l'tumah, that was not mentioned regarding chulin, because by chulin, regarding unconsecrated produce, The hands are always only going to be a sheni l'tumah. When do we say hands could become a rishon l'tumah? That was only said in regards to items of truma and kachim. That's when we consider the hands that are touching it like a rishon l'tumah. Now, in contrast, by regular hands, yeah, then even for truma, it's considered a sheni l'tumah. But that's what Tanna Kama is saying is, even though we're going to explain shortly what are cases that a yad can be a rishon l'tumah, that was never said in regards to the halachas of chulin. It was only said for the higher standards of truma and kachim. Whereas Reb Shimon Elazar, Eimim Mishum Remeyu, he says, Yedayim Tchilois. No, yes, even the fact of the hands being considered as a Rishon L'tumah were mentioned, even L'chulin for unconsecrated items, Ushnis L'tumah, they were considered as a Sheini for Tchuma, which the Gemara jumps on and asks, Tchilis L'chulin in? You're telling me that for Chulin, we consider the hands, in the case that we're going to describe as a Rishon and L'tumah Loi, but for Tchuma not, we're going to consider it as a Sheini? If anything, Tchuma is most severe, and that should be considered a higher level and more severe level of Tumah. So the Gemara says, no, Hachim, and this is what we're saying. Tchilas af lechulin. When we say that a yad can be a rishon l'tumah, that was even said for chulin, which that's what we're explaining is the halacha of our Mishnah, which is that the yadayim are rishon, which is going to make the chulin animal into sheni. Now, shniyos, this that we say that when the hands are a sheni l'tumah, like for example, regular hands that were not known to be have stayed pure, that was mentioned l'truma in, that was only mentioned for truma to make the truma into a shlishi and invalidated, but l'chulin loy, that wasn't mentioned in l'chulin, like we said, because everyone agrees, l'chulin, the sheni yadayim is not going to make chulin as a shlishi, as a problem. So therefore, again, we have a source in the interpretation of our Mishnah, like Reb Shimon Elazar, where it's the yad is a rishon, and therefore that's going to be a problem for the chulin animal to make it into a sheni, if it would have been that it was dam, that would have made it susceptible to tumah. Now that is the Gemara, Umirki Yadayim Tchilis, to clarify, is there really such a case that hands can be a rishon l'tumah? So the Gemara, and yes, the Tanya, which actually a Mishnah Masechta Yadayim. Mishnah says, as we alluded to earlier, Hichnis Yadav. If let's say someone had washed his hands, so he already purified it from the halacha of Stam Yadayim, so it's not a shein l'tumah. He's good to go. But still, with those fresh hands, he stuck his hands into Labes HaManoga, into a house that has a nega, which contaminates whatever goes inside of it. But he only stuck in his hands. So that says the Mishnah, Yodav Tchilas Divrei B'Kiva. B'Kiva says, his hands become a Rishon L'tumah. They say, no, Yodav Shnias, his hands are only a Shein L'tumah. So the Gemara explains. The Kuli Alma Biba Mixes Leishma Biya. Everyone obviously agrees that partial entry into a house is not like you entered, because if it would be considered as if you entered, then his whole body would be Tumah, and he would have to have actually have immersion in the mikvah, because like the Pasuk B'Yikri Yadav, Ha'ba'al Abayis, whoever comes in becomes Tumah. Now, here in this halacha, both of them are only being metami, the yadayim, the hands themselves. So what's the reason of their opinions? What they're disagreeing about is regarding the decree, the concern of his hands because of his body. Meaning, because we're concerned that if he's putting his hands in, we have to be concerned, we have to make that tame because of that he might put his whole body in and not realize that there's such a difference. So we decree that there's tumah on his hands too. But there is where there's the machlokes. Mar Savar Yadav, Rebbe Kiva held that his hands that the Rabbanim made a gezera, is that it should be a reason, a tchila, kegufei shavin Rabbanim. The Rabbanim made it, his hands, like the body, which is just like if the body would go in, his whole body would be a rishon l'tumah. So in the gezera Rabbanim, they also made his hands as a rishon l'tumah. But a marasab yudaim ki yudaim da'ama shavin Rabbanim. But the Rabbanim, they held that, no, the Rabbanim, who made that gezera, made it like the status of what generic hands are. So then the question is, if the hands are like what generic hands, and so what are you getting worse by putting your hands into Baisa as a nega? So the difference would be, according to Rabbanan, is even if he had already washed his hands, so it's already pure, it doesn't have the halacha of stami daim in it, and then right away he puts his hands in, and he didn't touch anything else, it's still going to be a shein l'tuma, not because of a stami daim, but because he put his hands into the house that has a nega. So therefore, again, we have such a case, and that could be the case of our Mishnah, like Rabbi Shimon Elazar, which is that you have a yad, that it's a rishon l'tuma, and therefore that's going to be the problem with the chulin animal. But the Gemara asks, why do you have to say it's like Rabbi Shimon Elazar? But v'lukma, you should explain the halach of our Mishnah, k'rei b'kiva. Say it's like Rabbi Kiva, who in general we say by anonymous Mishnayis that we try to find and say that's like Rabbi Kiva, because generally most anonymous Mishnayis are like Rabbi Kiva. Like the Gemara elsewhere says that when you have anonymous Mishnah, it's like Rabbi Meir, you have anonymous Sifra, it's like Rabbi Huda, and all of them are all going like Rabbi Kiva because they're all students of Rabbi Kiva. So since you just quoted now a source by Rabbi Kiva, the Yodav Tchilas Havian, you said that you just quoted this Mishnah Yadayim, that he says Yadayim could be a Rishon L'tumah, so say the Mishnah is like him. Why say it's like Rabbi Shimon Lazar? So the Gemara, no, because Dilma can come Rabbi Kiva, because maybe we'd be finding Rabbi Kiva saying that Yadayim could be a Rishon. Hanimila b'truma b'kachim d'chamiri. Maybe he only says that regarding the context of truma or kachim, which are severe. Maybe for that where he said Yadayim, you could have a case of Yadayim being a Rishon L'tumah. Avala chulin shnias habin, but maybe he would hold that for chulin items we only consider it as a shein l'tumah. We don't know. So therefore, we'd rather say the Mishnah is like Rabbi Shimon Elazar, who clearly says it, even in the context of Chulin, that it becomes a Rishon L'tumah. But the Gemara still asks, V'lahavina Mishnias. Okay, even say that we don't know for Rabbi Kiva, if for Chulin it'll be a Rishon. Maybe it'll be a Sheni. But it still would be able to explain the halacha of our Mishnah like Rabbi Kiva. Because da shemina led Rabbi Kiva d'ama, because we have heard elsewhere from Rabbi Kiva that he says that Sheni oisa shlishi b'chulin, he says that a secondary level of Tumah, which would be even this case that we're describing, could make chulin into a shlishi. So therefore, if dam would come out of the animal, it would be invalidated by the hands, because even hands, even if we say it's just a shein l'tuma, it would make it into a shlishi. So then anyway, we should say that the Mishnah is like Rabbi Kiva. It's not like we learn the Mishnah in Masech Tesedav Chav Zayin Mabez that says, Bay Bayim on that day, meaning referring to the day that they appointed Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah as the Nasi, as the leader of the Jewish people, wherever in general in Shas it says that day, it refers to that day that they appointed Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah as the Gemara says in Brachas of Chav Chasim and Aleph. Darsh Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Kiva expounded the following pasuk. Says v'cholkli cheres v'gomer, and any earthenware vessel that it falls into it, something that's like a sheretz, that's tummy, so whatever's inside of it will be when the sheretz falls into the ear space of the oven. What happens is that the oven is an earthenware vessel, so the oven becomes tummy. Now the sheretz is an avatuma, the oven becomes a rishon. Now the pasuk tells us that the tanner, the oven, it contaminates what's inside of it, so those food items become a sheni. Now additionally, when it says the words, whatever's inside of it, yitma, becomes tummy. That word yitma, says the Gemara, says Rabbi Kiva, tummy le'namer, the simpler word it could have used, whatever falls inside of it, is tummy. Doesn't say that. Ele yitma. Now, the word yitma, although it's really saying that it becomes tummy, but it could also be understood as yitame, le'tame acherim, that those food items that became tummy, not only do they become tummy, they make other things tummy. So says Rabbi Kiva, limit al kikr sheni. You know what that's teaching us? They're teaching us that you have a loaf of bread that's a secondary level of tumah, because generally in the oven you have loaves of bread inside of it. Shuhu eisa shlisha b'chulin, that it can make other things tameh, even to make chulin things into a tertiary, a third level type of tumah, because the pasuk doesn't differentiate, and it sounds like it can be metameh anything, whether tumah or even chulin. So Rabbi Kiva says that sheni can make a shlisha b'chulin. So just say the Mishnah is like him for that reason. Says the Gemara, no, because dima hanemila betumah dairaisa. Maybe Rabbi Kiva holds, yes, that a sheni can make a shlishi into chulin by biblical tumah, like in the case of that pasuk when there's a sheretz, where one of the eight creepy creatures when they're dead. Ava b'drabanan, but regarding rabbinic law, like the halacha of our Mishnah by yadayim, which you never really have biblically that only the hands become tummy. It's only rabbinically that the hands can be considered a sheni l'tumah. There layamar, maybe there he didn't say this halacha that it can make a chulin into a shlishi, and therefore we couldn't say necessarily it's him. And that's why we said that the halacha of our Mishnah is like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. So that was one approach to explain the halacha of our Mishnah. Now the Gemara brings another interpretation. Rabbi Elazar, Amar Reb Hayshia, he says, Well, how do we explain the halacha of a mishnah? We said it's not kosher. We said, but if it's chulin, then how does it become a shlishi? So on that he says, halacha b'chulin shenasu al taharas hakodesh haskin. You know what we're talking about? Yeah, we're talking about chulin. But chulin doesn't become a shlishi. Oh, but we're talking about chulin that was prepared in the purity level of someone who treats his chulin like hakdash. Meaning, you have someone that customarily would eat karbanas. He had access to karbanas. Now, so what he wanted to do, he wanted to create a standard that he, across the board, everything he prepares in the purity level that's required for kachem. So that he's careful, even with his unconsecrated produce, that it should stay away from things that would invalidate it, even if it was kachem. Because it might come to confuse when he has a carbon, so he wants to make sure there's no confusion. And he always has everything, even his chulin, al taharas hakodesh. So, and that is what our Mishnah is telling us, that then the Sheni, the Stam Yudayim, could make that chulin meat into a shlishi, which is what would happen if it was kachim. Although it's really chulin, a chulin cannot become, but he treats his chulin like kachim, so it actually becomes tamei according to his standards. Udalak Rabbi Shua, and this would be, our Mishnah then would be Nalak Rabbi Shua, who he says that chulin, even if it's prepared on the level of purity of kachim, it doesn't become a shlishi because it's what's called butla daitai. His intentions is nullified in the masses of the world where he cannot create a situation that his chulin has taharas hakodesh and it should become tamei. So that's what we're saying, that our Mishnah would be not like Rabbi Yeshua. The Tanya, like we learned, which is actually a Mishnah Masechtas Taharas. Rabbi Yezer, who we're going like, not like Rabbi Yeshua, that would be the understanding of our Mishnah, he says as follows. In certain rabbinic law, someone eats a food item that's a rishon l'tuma. So then the person who is eating that, his body becomes a rishon. He becomes himself a rishon l'tuma. And therefore, whatever he touches, the transmission then goes one level lower, becomes a sheni l'tuma. Let's say someone eats a sheni. So then nasa gufa, his body becomes a sheni. So whatever he touches becomes a shlishi. And whoever eats a shlishi, so then shlishi, that then he becomes a shlishi too. Which later on the Gemara is going to explain the reasoning of Rebbe Elazar's halacha, is because he makes the person who eats it like the food item that he's eating. Now, as Rashi points out, this is specifically if the thing that's being eaten is the size of a chatzi pras, half of a loaf, which that's the requisite shear of food items being, that's tummy to contaminate the person who's eating it, which is a rabbinic law, which is the size of 2 Talmudic eggs, as the Gemara says in Erev and Daf Pebezim Abeis. Now, however, regarding just touching, that's not going to contaminate the person that's eating it, because really, people and vessels do not become tame only from things that are avatama. And these things are either rishon, sheni, shlishi. It's rabbinic law only for the one who's eating it, and as the Gemara elsewhere explains, the reasoning, the rationale behind this rabbinic decree. But that's the explanation of Rabbi Eliezer. Shuaimer, he gives a different explanation. Ha'eichel eichel rishon, he says, someone that eats a rishon latama, or if he eats a sheni l'tuma, so then he becomes a sheni, becomes a sheni l'tuma. Now the reason is because Rabbi Yeshua holds that we don't equate the one who's eating it as the food item itself. And therefore, even if he ate a rishon, he becomes a sheni, which the Gemara later on is going to explain. So then why, when he eats a sheni, does he become a sheni and not become a shlishi? But be that as it may, continues Rabbi Yeshua, he says, shlishi, if someone eats a shlishi l'tuma, then his body becomes actually a sheni l'kaidish. He actually becomes like a second level of tuma in regards to kachim. So therefore, if he would now touch kachim, it would make it into a shlishi and then subsequently into a vi. As the Gemara later on is going to explain the reason for this. However, ve'ein sheni l'tuma, but he's not considered a sheni l'tuma in regards to coming in contact with tuma. So if, let's say, he touches tuma, he's not going to invalidate it, where tuma could only become tuma from a sheni or higher, because it could only become a shlishi. In regards to tuma, we didn't make that severe level of strictures. And therefore, it doesn't become a shlishi. For that, he's not considered a sheni. Whereas, however, Rashi points out, as the Gemara later on is going to explain, the Flamadal Mabez, but he's still forbidden to eat truma, because he is still considered a shlishi in regards to eating. So although Rabbi Shua says that we don't make the one who eats it like the food item itself, that's only for someone who's eating a rishon l'tuma, where we don't say that he's a rishon to make him into a sheni. But however, he's still forbidden to eat the truma. There he agrees that the shlishi will make the one who's eating it into shlishi, as the Gemara says later on the sugi. But here we're talking about touching. Now, it qualifies Rabbi Yeshua, and all this was said, b'chulin shenasu al taharas truma. We're talking about chulin that's made with the level of purity that relates to the laws of truma, which has more strict laws relating to it. In other words, this that we said, that what he's eating, this person, is a rishon or a sheni or a shlishi, and we're talking about chulin, What type of chulin could you have that it becomes a shlishi? Didn't we say that a sheni cannot make a chulin into a shlishi? So on that is what is it qualifying? Where do we have this? It's by chulin that were made on the level of purity of truma, which truma could become a shlishi. So that's the type of chulin that we're talking about. But one thing says the Gemara, al taris truma in, what's the case Rabbi Yeshua says? Where do you have that it could become chulin into a shlishi? It was made on the level of purity of truma. But to say that it was a case of when it was made in the purity of level of standard of kachim, then we didn't say that, because like we explained for Rabbi Yeshua, he holds butla daite. He say it doesn't take the effect of the taras hakodesh to take effect on these chulin item things. But regarding the level of purity of truma, that it would take effect. Where ksaver he holds chulin shenasa taras hakodesh less bushlishi, like we're saying, he holds that you cannot take effect on the chulin to take the level of taras hakodesh to make it into shlishi. So that's what the Gemara is saying. So obviously, our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yeshua. Rather, it's like Rabbi Elazar, because he says, in general, if someone eats a shlishi, he becomes a shlishi, which that would sound like even my chulin that was done al taras hakodesh, because he doesn't differentiate, and therefore that's what our halacha of our Mishnah is like. Again, not like Rabbi Yeshua, because Rabbi Yeshua doesn't hold like that. He holds, yeah, it could become a shlishi for if you did on the level of truma, that it could be, that people would do. But taras hakodesh, but ladaita, that's not going to take effect. Rather, our Mishnah, we want to say, how could you have a chulin becoming a shlishi? Chulin does not become a shlishi. It's like Rabbi Elazar, who he says that you could have a shlishi that the person's eating, it becomes a shlishi. So we said, how do you have a shlishi regarding chulin? Because that's how the Gemara is assuming. We're not talking about the actual kachim itself. We're talking about chulin items itself. How would it become shlishi when it was done al taras hakodesh? Because he doesn't differentiate. And oh, so you see that chulin could become a shlishi. And that's the halacha of our Mishnah, by chulin shenasa al taras hakodesh. Now, the Gemara, however, asks, why are you saying that? Why are you saying it's not like Rabbi Yeshua? V'lukman, but explain, as we continue to have Lama Dalman Aleph, B'chulin Shanas, Altaris Truma. Who said it has to be talking about a case of Altaris HaKadosh? Say it's told me that it was this meat was done for the standards of purity of Truma, and therefore we'll give it the halachas of Truma, which Truma could become a Shlishi. Rabbi Yeshua, and it could be like Rabbi Yeshua. Why say it's Altaris HaKadosh? Oh, and therefore that's only Rabbi Elazar who holds that chulin could become al taras hakodesh and could become a shlishi in revi. Say it's truma, and it's like those standards, and like be like Rabbi Yeshua. That's the Gemara. No, loisa gedaitach. He can't entertain to say that. Why not? Diktani baser. What's the halacha of our Mishnah? Our Mishnah is talking about like the halacha of our parak, our masechta, slaughtering chulin animals. We explain it's talking about animals, and it's talking about chulin. Now we could understand regarding produce of chulin, peiros. We could understand over there that a person would affect on his chulin items this tahara of truma. Why? Because he wants to make sure that he's careful that when he's actually eating truma, that he has that level of tahara where he doesn't want to confuse his truma produce with his chulin produce, and that therefore he might eat his truma in the assumption that it's chulin. So he wants to make sure that everything has that standard level of tahara of truma. But meat, there is no meat in truma. Therefore, kain's never going to take effect on this chulin meat that should have the level of tahara of truma, because you're not going to confuse your truma, which is only by grain and wine and certain things like that, with your chulin meat that you might come to eat your truma meat as chulin, because there is no truma meat. So therefore, the iba truma, if it was talking about truma, basa mi'ik, would you have meat? And therefore, it cannot be Rabbi Yeshua, and therefore it has to be like Rabbi Elazar, al taras hakodesh, not like Rabbi Yeshua, al taras truma. But nothing more asked. So elamai b'kachim. So what are you saying? Okay, it's al taras hakodesh, and it's going like a belazim. Problem is, chayib kachem yika, then say the same thing. How can you say you're going to make it al taras hakodesh? There's no wild animals for karbanis. So how are you going to say that you're going to treat your wild animals al taras hakodesh? The same idea as why we can't say it's like a Yeshua. So it's like, no, because basa b'basa michlef. No, ultimately, meats could get confused. So therefore, it would still make sense, someone who eats kachim, that he would want to eat his chulin meat, even that of wild animals, al taras hakodesh, because it still might confuse it with his kachim meat, where he wants to eat everything that's standard of tahara, because you could confuse pieces of meat. But basa b'peri lemichel, but that's what we explained before, why it can't be like Rabbi Yeshua, you don't confuse meat with produce, and therefore, since truma is only by peiros, it's not going to get confused with meat, and therefore it wouldn't be normative, and therefore it's butla daita, whoever would want to do that, for kahanim to take effect on the chulin meat, that it should have taras truma. And therefore we said it can't be like Rabbi Yeshua. Rather, the second resolution we have for the halacha of our Mishnah, how do you have a problem with tamei hands that are shnius to go ahead and make the chulin meat into a shlishi? So we said this like Rabbi Elazar, and when you're treating your meat, al taras hakodesh, would that make sense? You might confuse it with karbanis meat, which could become a shlishi and revi, and therefore it actually takes effect that tumah and would make it problematic. And that's what our Mishnah is saying. If there's no dam coming out, so it's not hokshli kabut tumah, then the stam yidayim are not going to be a problem for this chulin meat that was nasa al taharas hakodesh.